It's a catchy title, right? I mean, Hobby Civil War, you got to pay attention, right? You got to pay attention with that. Come on here in the AM. We're going to chat about the industry summit. And what's funny is everything I talk about is second, third, fourth, fifth hand, because I am not someone who owns multiple LCSs. I am not someone who is a big time breaker or someone who gets product. I am not the audience for an industry summit. An industry being an important word here. Not somebody who's been invited to the industry summit. It's not something that media gets invitations to. The quote unquote media coming out of there are people who are there as breakers or as LCSs and are able to kind of break news as their content coming out of it. But I wanted to kind of chat with you guys about the different perspectives of the hobby slash industry. I mean, it seems like a perfect time to kind of discuss it, right? Because I got a lot of people who were there telling me how happy they are, telling me how excited they are coming out of the industry summit, how great it's going to be, and you know how good the summit was, and how you know professional Fanatics was, and how you know people joke about 10x, but that you know what they're doing is definitely going to grow the hobby. And I wanted to kind of dissect that a little bit because my response to them when they say we're going to grow the hobby is, I believe it's going to grow the industry. I almost said kill the hobby, but that's obviously another headline grabber, right? That's not what's happening here. But I think it's important in the beginning to almost draw a Mason-Dixon line, right? To almost draw a north and south between hobby and industry. It is that black and white. And I think it really is an important thing to kind of make sure we have that set forth at the beginning. Fanatics has come up with some great business ideas. Great ideas that will generate cash, that will generate money, that will generate interest, that will generate eyeballs. And if you are part of the group that is at Industry Summit, for the most part, this should all be exciting for you. If you are someone who is dependent on, you know, your cash flow is dependent on releases and products and allocation and excitement and getting new people in to open new product, that's an important event that just went on. And you should have some confidence in what Fanatics is bringing to the table for you. Because think about all the great new products that are coming out. Think about a basketball product, licensing, schmicensing. It's going to have the ability to chase Wemby autos, which before that product were not something you could get unless you were looking at like the Bowman product. But in the same product, Wemby, LeBron autos, which, come on, when was the last time you were able to chase a LeBron auto in a product that wasn't like Space Jam or, you know, the dual auto that you just saw with Bronny, right? LeBron autos, KD autos, Steph Curry autos, you know, say what you want about licensing, non-licensing, you name it. These cards, they will have interest. They will draw interest. They will get butts in the seats is a way to say it, right? You know, they will get people into your store. And if you're not an LCS, if you are a breaker, they will be something that is very easy for you to promote as a breaker and mark up as a breaker. For Fanatics to sell it to you and sell out, for you then put it on your breaking page, probably the Fanatics page, and then they are creating a machine here. That if you're part of it, if you're one of the cogs in it and you do what needs to be done to remain in the good graces, there's money to be made here. And if we take it outside of just the money in the business, there are new people to be brought in by this. You know, there are LeBron fans who were not able to buy a pack to try to get a LeBron auto, right? Think of the craziness that has already happened in more gimmicky items. Right. And I'm going to attack this again. You know, we'll keep this short, but I'm going to attack the gimmick part of it as part of my, you know, overarching discussion here. You don't think people are going to try to chase a LeBron auto in this product? You don't think people are going to try to chase the, you know, autograph of Wemby? Of course they are. Of course they are. 100% going to try to chase that. And why wouldn't they? Right? I mean, got to chase that. Got to go after it. It's going to sell the product. It's going to sell the product at a price probably higher than what breakers are paying for it, higher than what LCSs are paying for it. And that's the goal, right? If you're Fanatics, you want to make sure that the product has demand. You want to make sure that you're doing right by the people who are, you know, going to be distributing that product to the consumer, your breakers, your LCSs. You want to make it easy for them to sell. And these, you know, putting these players in it is great, right? Now, who's on the other side of this civil war? And by the way, we can talk about football with CJ Stroud autos and RPAs that weren't available because of this licensing stuff. I got to give Fanatics some credit in what they're doing because it's an interesting transition period, which we've seen in the hobby before. You know, in 2009 to 2012, you know, the Topps moving over to Panini, Upper Deck moving over. I mean, all of the different licensing transfers, there's always that kind of like interesting period there before it transitions over. And I think that, you know, Fanatics, Topps, they're doing a very good job of coming up with that, you know, an option for collectors, right? Because right now, Wemby has rookie cards, but he doesn't have licensed auto card. I mean, there is this entire class of players that are going to fall into this odd little window here. And I think, you know, at least they're trying to do something for consumers. Now, is there going to be a segment of people who say it's not a real card because it's not NBA licensed? I'm sure. I'm sure of it. For you guys, I say, you know, go back and look at the 09 Topps Chrome set and, you know, look what Seth Curry's picture looks like. You know, you wouldn't buy that refractor of Steph Curry's rookie card right now, even though he's wearing the t-shirt? Of course you would. Take a look. You know, we quickly forget. But anyway, the other side of it, I'll present it here because you're not going to get it from anybody who was at the event because most of them don't do social. They don't have IG. They're not doing the breaking news. But it may just be the natural order of things. It may just be natural selection. It may just be progress. You know, Darwinism, survival of the fittest. But I guarantee you that there are a lot of folks who have had stores for a long time who are not completely on board with the shift coming with Fanatics, who don't want to be a LCS 2.0. They don't want to have the, you know, maybe they don't know how to do it. Maybe they don't know how to be an LCS 2.0. I fall kind of, you know, both ways on that side in their old ways, because I have an LCS. I have a guy who, you know, who I brought my buyback cards in, and he told me I'm not doing the buyback anymore for the MVPs. You know, keep your Aaron Judge Chrome cards. Go send them somewhere else. I said, well, why wouldn't you do this? It's free money in the store. And, oh, no, Fanatics, I'm not a Fanatics shop. Like, I get my stuff, but I'm not the guy that they want to really help. They compete against me. You know, they give me product and then they sell the product themselves at a price that makes it impossible for me to make money. It's an interesting thing, right? But you got to remember, my LCS, he can't spell Shopify. You know, the point of sale system he uses is, I'm pretty sure he still has like AOL dial-up to call in, you know, orders. And, you know, DealerNet is on an old Tandy computer in the background. Love the guy, get great prices from him, you know, but he definitely is not what I think Fanatics is thinking when they want to partner with a store who's going to bring this business forward. No, he's got some shelves, some display cases of older cards that he hopes somebody will come in and one day sell, buy from him, and nobody ever does. But what's funny about that is I sometimes think to myself, are those guys the last bastion of hope for the hobby? You know, hobby is eBay, right? Hobby is these LCSs. It's the buying the cards that you love, buying the cards that have nostalgia, some sort of a pullback. And, you know, we all came back into this because we, you know, during COVID, you name it, when people were looking for something nostalgic, something to look, oh, let me buy the cards I bought when I was a kid. Let me, you know, the things that pull me back, the things that are relevant, you know, the things that actually have some value still. And are the LCSs, are those old curmudgeon guys, are they, the ones protecting the hobby and, you know, preventing this from turning completely into just a business, just a churn? And let me flesh that out a little bit, right? Because I've made the argument on this podcast for a while that the breaking that is going on, you know, the hobby itself is basically becoming a casino. I talked about, you know, having a buyback list many, many times where, you know, we're bounties and buybacks. And then all of a sudden that just became what happens, you know, from the Blaze team offering a $250,000, you know, bounty on the Edwards Nebula, which I don't think is going to get cash in because the card's worth more than that, to the Fanatics list of 10 for $10,000 in breaking credit. And so all this, you know, crazy stuff that goes on here, I've said that it is akin to a slot machine. But the difference, right, and that's a business. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? And people talk about like 10Xing and putting more butts in the seats and getting more eyeballs, and that's good. It is, right? It's good for the casino if there's more people coming in gambling. Those are the breakers, that's Fanatics, and those are the LCSs. Obviously, MGM, Las Vegas Sands, you know, these companies win. They do better if more people come in and spend their money there and they gamble. Clearly. The one difference, though, is that nobody is taking the chip home with them. Nobody's taking it's not even chips anymore, right? Out of a slot machine. It's just a piece of paper. It's literally just money in, money out. You put $100 in, you get $70 out. You put that $70 in, you hope to get $140 out, cash it and take your money out and be done. The slot machine is not spitting out a card, right? And I guess where I'm going with it is, are we treading down a dangerous path here where every card that's being produced now is simply a gimmick, a bounty, an item that is being put in so that somebody can put in $100 in a break and hope to pull out $200 or $500, or it'd be a lottery ticket, the golden ticket, and exchange it in for $250,000 bounty? Is there anybody opening this product now hoping to get a card that they would keep? Like when I was a kid opening a pack, hoping to get a Shaquille O'Neal card and put it in a binder. Now, it's very possible people are opening these products trying to get Wembys. Possible. Maybe. But for the most part, I think what people are doing is they are putting an amount of money in and hoping to get more money out. And what I was arguing to the folks who have called me from the industry summit and, you know, told me how great it is and how fantastic it is and how these products are going to drive interest and it's going to, you know, create more, you know, interest in the hobby and in the space, and in turn, more money and more product and more money and more product. My question was, well, what card is going to maintain value over time? Because your store also is a secondary value. Your store also is, you know, the secondary market is important to your store. It's selling these cards and, you know, having some value in the cards over time, right? Like, how long can the industry, the business survive on just the same, okay, we got a rookie crop, we got this, chase this, and if you get it, we'll give you money. The cards themselves lose the value. It just becomes putting that paper in and taking a paper out, putting the money in and taking the money out. It's no longer about the actual collectible item. It's basically just a scratch-off ticket, right? I mean, we've turned it into an unregulated casino. And if you think I'm, you know, being stupid about it, or you think I'm trying to, you know, shout in a crowded theater. No. I mean, what have we been chasing? The Brady auto. in a baseball product, right? The brawny, you know, jewel auto, you know, all of these cards that have been, you know, chased, the Wemby in a baseball product, right? In, you know, a duel with Aaron Judge, or, you know, Wemby with his Yankee jersey. I mean, all these things are, they're great ideas. They're great chases, which is, I mean, it's a great word for it. They're chases. They're great progressive jackpots to pull that one-armed bandit. But ultimately, will any of them have value beyond that trade-in? A good example of this is the buybacks, the MVP buybacks, the UFC buyback that just happened. I think they're great ideas. I was shocked that my LCS wasn't doing it, right? But think about the point of it, right? Let's use the UFC one. I open up a box of Topps UFC Chrome, and what's funny is the best card that I pulled in two boxes plus some blasters was the Alex Pereira base card, because I was able to trade it in for $20. Think about that. Now, that I'm obviously summarizing this a little bit here. I'm not trying to say, wow, you know, I had bad luck or you name it, but that card is not worth $20 in a year. They are inflating the value of something. They're giving it a value that it otherwise wouldn't have, a base card, the Aaron Judge base card, you know, or Mookie Betts base card if he's going to win the MVP or whatever it is. These cards are not worth $20, but they are inflating the value of it. They're saying it's worth this so that people buy it, so that people buy it immediately, so that breakers have the ability to break and yell about this is one of the 10, or this is a chase, or this is a bounty, or by the way, you know, you can't really get too hurt because when you open a box, it is hopefully you get one of these and it's worth $20. But it's not worth $20 forever. It's worth $20 until the promotion expires. And I think you could basically expand that out to all of these things have a promotional period. It's until the next promotion starts, right? That Wemby that people chased is only going to be the one they chase until there's another chase announced. The Tom Brady autograph was the chase until it's not. And now there's another chase. And those cards are going like that. These were huge prices and now they're not. And I guess the concern for me, and I'll leave it with a question. I'd love to know what you guys think. The question I have at the end of the day is it sustainable to do it that way? To basically produce a product that no one's going to want after a while and not care about that. I'm making an assumption here that maybe they do care, but it's 1A, 1B. Sure, they want to make a nice product, but the most important part is making a product that is going to sell, making a product that is going to be something that gets more butts in the seats, gets people into the LCS, gets people onto Fanatics Live, gets the breakers the ability to break and yell and scream and bang until that promotion's over and they move to the next promotion. Do any of these have long-lasting value? Any of the products being produced have any value? Because ultimately, I believe that's an important part. There's some nostalgia, there's some tie back, there's some value to the underlying asset, you know, vintage baseball cards and the like. But when a Mickey Mantle gets sold on eBay, Fanatics doesn't get a piece of that. They have to produce the next card. They have to produce the next card. Their money comes in with each release. It really is an interesting thing to think about. Two sides. Hobby versus business. Some people like to say the hobby is a business, but I think when your hobby comes down to money, it's no longer a hobby. Anyway, it's just what I'm thinking about with all this fun stuff that's coming out of the industry summit. I love some of the things that are being announced. I think there are some cool ideas that is going to generate a lot of excitement. And for someone like me who's a talking head, forget about it. I mean, I'm almost upset that I put out the Tuesday morning news an hour before these announcements came out. That's why I couldn't include them in there. You know what I mean? Like my news was almost irrelevant an hour after it came out. There's a lot of fun stuff. There's a lot of cool things. There's a lot of things that I think, you know, kids will want to chase. Hell, you know, I mean, I'm going to break boxes of this stuff and hope my son and I get a LeBron auto or a Wemby auto. Why the hell not? You know, that's the point. So what they're doing, they're being successful at what they're doing. It's just the sad part for me is I think if my son and I pull a LeBron auto, we're going to sell it as soon as we can. Because I don't think we're trying to pull a LeBron auto because we want to have one of these LeBron autos that aren't licensed. I think we're pulling a LeBron. We want to buy a box to try to get invited to Willy Wonka's factory and walk around and eat some candy. Not really own this LeBron auto and keep it and, you know, have it as part of our collection. And I think that therein lies the fun little conundrum that we'll see play out over the next couple of years. That's my episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know what you think. Talk to you soon.